All right, we're recording. Joe, give me a sound bite.
Okay. It's because what you buy is what you own. And what you own, Lewis, always comes back to you.
That sounds good. Let's start.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the horror edition of Just Becousins. I am your host, Joseph Neal, and with us, as always, bleeding from his eyeballs, is my cousin, Jason Mark.
Dude, the timing on that was perfect. You have to do the intro from now on.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Let me turn this down a little bit. Good, man. I'm freaking out. I'm scared.
Are you scared?
I am terrified right now. I just shit my pants.
That takes a lot of fear to squirt poop out of your butt.
No, sorry. I misspoke. I mean, I put them in a box and sent them to a tailor to have them fixed. Wait, what did you think I said?
I thought you said I shit my pants.
Ship, sorry. And I'm just scared he's not going to do a very good job because he's blind.
Oh.
You know.
Oh, okay.
That's a bad joke.
You're scared because you ship your pants.
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
I didn't. I don't know if I paid the right postage. This joke is stupid, and I'm not going to let it die. I'm just, you know, I'm afraid of postal workers in general. I have no good reason to be. How you doing?
I'm scared. Usually I'm scared when I shit my pants.
Yeah. Hey, what are we talking about tonight?
Well, sorry, did you hear that? Did you get that burp on wax?
I did. Well, I did.
It is our 13th episode that has been listened to. The actual amount of podcasts that we've recorded is in the thousands or millions.
Well, Joe, we have been podcasting since the 13th century, so that's a couple million right there, yeah.
But anyway, this is potentially the 13th one that will be listened to by another human being other than me. And and because it's the 13th, and because this will be posted on a Friday, that's almost like Friday the 13th.
Tomorrow is Friday the 13th. It is, actually.
And that's a long, boring explanation.
That's good to me.
But this is the horror episode.
Well, let's talk about horror. Do we have to wait till Royksopp ends and set the tone or mood and stuff? Or should we just jump right in and talk about why we like... Do you like horror movies? I mean, is that a thing that you're into? Or is that just something you tolerate?
I'm a big horror fan. Like... But I think there are horror fans out there that would turn their nose up at my viewership. I mean, I've seen a lot of horror movies, but there are people out there that they're true fanatics. I'm an enthusiast. I like horror movies.
Like what?
And you know what? There's a lot of shitty ones.
Well,
but I try to watch all the new ones. Well, as many of the new ones that I can come out, because sometimes. Sometimes, like, a real gem will kind of float under the radar, and it'll be super scary, but there's a lot of shitty ones, but if you keep watching them, you get a good one every once in a while, and that's a special experience.
Give me an example of a gem, something that flew under the radar. What are you talking about?
There's this movie called Dead End. You ever seen that one?
No, I'm going to look it up right now. Dead End.
Yeah, and you can maybe still watch it on Netflix, but like it didn't make a huge splash or anything, and it's got I don't know her name, the lady. You ever seen Kingpin?
No.
All right, well, for our listener, the Kingpin is that it's a bowling movie, not a horror movie. decidedly.
I have seen that movie. I just didn't recognize the name.
Woody Harrelson and Randy Quaid. And you remember when he had to fuck his landlord to instead of paying rent?
Okay, yeah,
and then
I do.
He just got done fucking her, and he's barfing in the toilet, and she keeps saying these terrible things to make him barf more. Like, she's like, what is it about good sex that makes me want to crap? And then he's like, you know? And she's like, you really knocked one loose there, Tiger. And he's like,
Lynn Shay, that's her name, the actress. I looked it up.
I was trying to figure. I don't know her name, so instead, I gave this horrible scene from Kingpin. She is the star of Dead End. She plays the mom. There's a couple of teenagers, and then there's Ray Wise. Remember him? He's from Twin Peaks.
The dad.
He's a weirdo, and he plays the dad. Yeah, and
but he's the dad in Twin Peaks too, right?
Yeah, he's the dad in Twin Peaks too, and he's the dad in this movie called Dead End.
Yeah,
and this movie, I think they're driving to some family event or something, and suddenly they realize that this road that they're driving down through the woods is not changing, and dad had taken a shortcut ostensibly, and the road is not ending or changing or anything, and just weird shit starts happening. And like, I gotta tell you, like, by the end of that movie, the very end is kind of silly, but like, by the time you realize that they're completely fucked, it's it's really scary, man.
I'm gonna read.
I would recommend it to anybody.
I will read.
It freaked me out good.
Here's what it says on IMDb for people who haven't seen it, including me. I'll read it. It says, for the past 20 years, Frank Harrington has grudgingly driven his family to celebrate Christmas with his mother-in-law. This year, he takes a shortcut. It's the biggest mistake of his life.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm going to check that one out. I like horror movies. You got to understand, for the longest period of my life, I was scared, appropriately, of horror films and like that kind of thing. Like, I wouldn't go see them in movies in the theater, and I wouldn't read the books. And then my mom was a big she still is a big book junkie, and there was this used bookstore she would go to, and I was always drawn to the horror section. And I wouldn't read the books, but I'd look at the covers and I'd read the back and just be freaked out. And one day I decided, you know what, this book is very silvery and shiny, I'm gonna read it. And it was Stephen King's The Shining. And I was just blown away. I was like, I don't
really
know.
Good book.
Yeah,
that's,
I was like,
scary ass book.
13, 14 years old, and I was like, I didn't know that this is what it meant to read these kinds of books. I just assumed it was going to be guys running around with knives killing people, and that did happen in that book. Well, baseball bat, you know. But and then so I started kind of dabbling in horror movies, and I too have seen some gems. I'm going to match your Dead End with a movie you may not have seen. Tell me, this is a gem. Have you seen a movie called Clown?
No.
This is from 2014, and nothing that
it's spelled with a K.
No, it's a C.
Okay.
Nothing I say about it will make it sound like it's good. It's about a guy who I can't remember something. He the clown that they hired for his kid's birthday party like canceled the last minute, and he finds an old clown suit in an attic in this house that they recently bought, this creepy old house. So he finds this suit, he figures, well, I'll be the clown. He puts it on, right? And he does clown things, but he can't take the suit off afterward. Like, can't. There's nothing. Knives won't cut through it. Yeah. And
I like it.
And
already.
And as the movie progresses, things start to happen to his body. He's becoming a clown. Like, his nose is starting to fall off and turn around.
Clown. It's not makeup on his skin. His skin is turning fucking white, like clown makeup.
And it turns out like there's this demon that like looks like a clown, but it's very demonic. And so, like, you know, this is classic scary clown stuff going on, right? And the best scene, I'm going to spoil it completely. Sorry, I'm just going to do this because I just can't help it, right? The best scene is he's well into this. He's freaking out. He can't take this creepy suit off. He has decided this is just too much. So he takes a gun, gets into the bathtub, sticks in his mouth, pulls the trigger, right? And instead of blood shooting out of the back of his head, it's confetti. I laugh so fucking hard. And of course,
right,
it doesn't
work.
It doesn't work. He doesn't die. He's in full demon clown mode now.
And... Ooh, let's see, now that's back to a scary twist. I was going to say, let's now segue from slapstick comedy back into fucking horror, because confetti coming out of your head when you try to blow your head off.
It was awesome. Funny. Yeah, you should watch it. I think you can find it for free somewhere. I did. I have a friend who is a complete horror movie nutso, and he a couple of Halloweens ago did October. He did 31 days of horror movie recommendations, and that was one of them.
Oh wow!
It was really clown. Really good. Yeah, clown. Yeah, it's good. Are there, when we talk about the classics? I'm going to name some movies, and you tell me if you've seen them. Okay, have you seen? Because I made some lists. Have you seen, for example, the standards are like, you know, let's see here. Nightmare on Elm Street, right? You got your Friday the 13th.
Yeah, it's a good one. That is a classic.
Halloween.
Both genuinely terrifying.
Yeah.
Really. Good shit. Both Wes Craven, too. Am I right? Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did Scream. He did those movies. Did you see those?
Again, the first one's really good, and that's actually one of that's like one of the things in Scream that they address as like the meta movie that it is that, you know, oh, the first one's always good. You know, yeah. What? Scream's kind of like that. The other ones are all right. Wonder if he did that on purpose.
Well, I'm sure he did. You know, since our podcast is very meta, at least we claim that it is, let's talk about the most meta horror film of all time. Have you seen The Cabin in the Woods? Dude. A chill, seriously, just went down my back. Did you see that? You saw that movie.
Oh, I own the movie. We put it on in the background while we're cleaning house and shit. It's fucking wonderful. Seriously, I've seen it so many times. It's great.
I've only seen it once, but every single part of it's the perfect... I mean, it is such a meta... And by the way, listener, I'm going to spoil the shit out of this movie, by the way. So if you have not seen it, I'm not even joking. Stop the podcast now and go watch it. Because it is the ultimate, I mean, Joe, am I wrong? It's the ultimate horror film. It's the last one. After you watch that one, every other horror film you ever watch for the rest of your life will not be the same. Am I right?
It gives you everything you need. It's wonderful.
It explains every horror film.
Super interesting.
Yeah.
Every horror movie that you've seen would fit in to the storyline that they present.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any horror movie that you've seen could very well be a part of the kind of matrix that they've set up in that movie.
Yeah. It is the be-all
end-all.
Which is
great, man. That's cool.
Yeah, when Joss Whedon, right, Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Avengers fame, did
Firefly.
This. Firefly. Yeah, thank you. Dollhouse. List goes on.
Buttfuck Sluts Part Volume 18.
A little known work. Yeah.
Joss Whedon's cock.
That's right.
Playing
bit part.
Anyway,
no pun intended. When
ooh, just a small part.
I didn't hear much about this movie. Thank goodness, because you do not want to go in this movie knowing what's going to happen, because the surprise is so satisfying. But when I heard that Joss Whedon did it, you know, was the producer or whatever, I was like, well, I got to see it, and I was 100% satisfied the entire way through. It is such a good film. It explains all horror movies, and as far as I'm concerned, it almost does a disservice to horror fans, because it kind of takes the sting out of every other horror film, because as you're watching it, you can always meta-contextualize any new horror film you see in the Cabin in the Woods explanation, the context, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I love the movie. Sometimes when I watch it, you know, and this isn't really giving much away, but the kids in the cabin pick the, what is it, the cannibal death hold on, let me get this right, the death worshipping cannibal rednecks,
I think it's pain worshipping.
Oh, thank you. Pain worshipping, that's way
I'm
better.
Just gonna Google it.
And
pain,
yeah, pain worshipping cannibal rednecks, they pick those, but then there are all these other options that they kind of barely missed that they could have picked. And sometimes I wonder, the movie would have been good with almost any of those options.
Anyone
being chosen.
Yeah. It yeah. says here, pain worshiping backwood redneck zombies. I'm on the Cabin
Thank you.
In the Woods wiki.
I forgot the zombie part.
Yeah.
I remember there's a really good line, because they're reading from the the little girl redneck zombie. They're reading from her diary, and
yes,
she's like talking about her last moments, I think, and she's like, "Oh, my left arm doesn't work anymore because that's my good arm that I'm writing with. My other arm has been et."
Yeah.
I love that. I don't know why I love that line. Like, oh, shit.
I want to talk about favorite moments in horror films because there's a lot. I mean, really comes down to it. When you see a horror film, it's got to have a favorite moment. And I have a lot of anecdotes I want to tell. What can you, like, pick one moment in Cabin in the Woods, unless it's this one about getting the arm at? What's your favorite moment in Cabin in the Woods?
Favorite moment in Cabin in the Woods?
Yeah. And I'm putting you on the spot.
This fucked me up, even though I saw it coming. And there's no lines. I just have to explain the scene. Thor.
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying. It's my favorite line. It's my favorite part, too. Yes, go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Thor. What's his name? Chris Hemsworth or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Total stud boy in the movie and in every movie that he's ever been in, I believe. And he's like, okay, well, we gotta get across this ravine and to save us. Of course, it's all a setup. And you know that we saw like an eagle die on an invisible wall that's uh-huh. just there in the middle of the ravine. But we watch Thor back up. He gets on a dirt bike and he backs all the way up and he tries to jump over the ravine only to smash violently and terribly into the invisible wall and go tumbling into the fucking ravine and die.
Oh,
as everybody
man.
Looks on, and it was just
good. So good. Ooh. That was absolutely my favorite part of the whole movie. I laughed so loud, so hard. And I think that's what it comes down to in these horror films is like I love it when they're genuinely scary, like holy shit, but also, they make me laugh so hard. Joe, I love horror movies because they're ridiculously stupid. I laugh my ass off. There's a scene in... I'm going to tell you my favorite...
Give me an example.
Here's one of my favorite scenes. Have you seen... you've seen all the Paranormal Activity movies, right?
All of them. Love them all.
Okay. I get the number...
There's lots of naysayers, by the way, but I just...
Yeah, screw those people.
I think they figured something out that is perfectly attuned to what I want to see.
As far as I'm concerned...
It works every fucking time.
Every time. As far as I'm concerned, Paranormal Activity is top of my list of horror movie franchise. I think Cabin in the Woods is the ultimate, and we can talk about other scenes, but which is the one where it's set like back in the 80s and they're using like VHS tapes and stuff? I don't know, is that Paranormal Activity 2 or 3? I get them all confused. But you remember this scene.
That's 3, I think, yeah.
Is that 3? Okay.
Back in the 80s. Anyway, go ahead.
So good, you'll remember this. Okay, so it's middle of the night, the camera has been set up on the oscillating fan, it's going back and forth between the living room and the kitchen, right? Back and forth. And let me further contextualize this by telling you that I'm in a theater that's got three people in it. Me, a friend of mine is next to me, and she's a black woman. She's black, and I'm just going to point that out. And then about four rows up in front of us, there's another person, and it's a black guy, okay? So
is that relevant in any way?
It will be eventually.
Just tell your fucking story, racist.
So it's the scene where camera's on the oscillating fan going back and forth. The mom hears a sound for some reason she's come downstairs and the camera's going back and forth and there's the mom and she's on the left side of the shot and she's looking at the kitchen and then it sweeps back and then you see the kitchen and it sweeps back to the mom and she has a look of utter horror on her face. She is terrified of something, but you don't know what. And then it pans back to the kitchen and then the mom walks into the scene and then everything that was in the kitchen falls down from the ceiling because you couldn't see it and crashes, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, you didn't see it coming and it was amazing. And I was just, I howled with laughter. And here's the racist part. It was so awesome. The guy four rows up, he shouts, "Oh, hell no." And then my friend leans into me. She goes, "I was going to say that." It was so fucking awesome. It was one of the best moments I've ever had in a movie theater. It was so good. And that was one of my...
Now, see, those movies, by the way, I gotta say, I don't mean to cut you off, but those movies are great in the movie theater. like that moment, I remember when I saw that moment in the movie theater, and I was real glad that I was in a movie theater, because everybody else there, who's kind of on the same page with you and I, was scared shitless, and you kind of you hear gasps, and everybody gets scared at the same time, just elevates the entire experience.
Ooh, absolutely, good. Yeah. But then,
and I can imagine it really elevated things when somebody was like, "Oh hell no!"
It was awesome. But don't you think there's also something to the whole being in your house alone, middle of the night, you know, watching a horror film? Because like, that's how I watched all the Paranormal Activity movies, all the other ones. I, you know, just put them up on.
That's pretty much just as good. It's a different experience. It's kind of it's terrifying in a different way. It's less of a – when I go to a horror movie in a theater, it's almost more like an amusement park ride. When you're at home – even like when the movie is done and like everything is quiet and it's dark and you're in your house, you're like, you think weird shit happens. Like you think that there's you go take a pee and you think that there's a fucking like floating witch in your shower.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to, you know what I mean? You don't want to open the shower curtain because there might be like a small possessed child like floating there staring at you. So
it is. Yeah, absolutely.
It's weird. Good. Scary movies could create delusional thought.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And I paranoid think. It's you know, you mentioned earlier that some movies are horror movies are really, really bad. I'd like to point out that 99.9% of them are, but even the bad ones can leave you with that sense of like, oh shit, like I just that little lizard part of your brain that isn't rational, that's like there might be a floaty possessed child behind the curtain, and I think we like tapping into that because it's primal. And well, you work at Taco Bell. You see people who come in and are eating things. Clearly, they're only eating it because there's some primal need to stuff themselves on gorditas. So maybe you can tell me why we have this primal need to be scared shitless in a otherwise rational world. I don't know. I don't know if you want to.
I don't know. I think it's interesting. It just gives us. I think that we kind of seek out, as human beings, we seek out this kind of like anxiety relief type of experience, you know? That's why we like suspense movies, we like mysteries, and we like horror, and it's like you hold yourself. It's almost like you were saying, music is that way too, like the way that you end on a tonic, and then you know, the note just before the tonic is designed in the scale to hold the tension, and then the tonic releases the tension. And
yeah,
I think that horror movies are designed in the same way. Did I get that terminology right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a music – I know how to play musical instruments, but you understand musical terminology a little bit better than I do sometimes.
We're a good couple. We should get married. Let's talk about –
that's fucking scary.
Just because it's 3, The Reckoning. Let's talk about, or can you give me, because I can go on for days and I'm going to, any other like horror movies that stand out, like any particular scenes that make you go, oh, that, you gotta, let me tell you about, can you give me some more examples?
Well, then maybe we can come back to this, but just in case we never touch on it, I feel like I need to do this movie honor and mention it sooner than later. Because I think one of the best horror movies, and it's fairly recent, is The Babadook.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Tell me what that's about.
You haven't seen that, right?
No, I have not. Babadook. I'm going to look it up while you're talking about it.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about that movie, and this is what I want from every movie, so thank you, Babadook, for pulling this off, but you watch the preview and you're like, oh, that's a scary premise, which is there's a children's book that this woman has like found in her house, like they moved into a new house or something, and she finds this children's book and she's reading it to her kid, and by the end of the book it's completely fucked up and morbid and terrifying.
Let's watch the trailer now.
Oh, okay.
Why not? I mean, I'm gonna turn off this relaxing music. Oops. Babadook trailer, here we go.
Where'd you get this?
On the shelf.
If it's in a word or it's in a look, you can't get rid of the Babadook. A rumbling sound, then 3 sharp knocks.
Babadook, duck, duck.
That's when you'll know he's around. You'll see him if you look.
Fucking A.
Nothing bad's gonna happen, Sam. I'm
looking under the bed,
Did
looking in
the
closet.
Did you think that about my dad before he died?
Daddy's
dead.
You change
things as they are, that one.
I promised to protect you if you promised to protect me.
This is Australian, isn't it, Joe?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
have you heard anyone?
The boy has significant behavioral problems.
This monster thing has got to stop, all right? It's just...
Should I keep going? This trailer's got another minute and a half to go.
It can't hurt you.
You can stop it there.
All right.
I mean, you get the point.
Oh, she burned the book.
Just,
oh, fuck. She
book.
Burned. She burned the book, Joe. I know what's going to happen. That's
well,
fucked up.
Well, guess what? I mean, that's not going to work. But here's the cool.
Yeah.
Here's the
everybody
cool
who saw what was the movie where? Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh well, it's, you know that's like Twilight Zone, the talking Tina doll. Like, go ahead, throw it away, burn it, do whatever. Do like a droopy move where you like, you know, droopy is scary too. I'm sorry to go on this tangent, but droopy will haunt you to the end of your days. That's the cartoon Droopy.
I'm looking him up. He's scary? Okay.
Well, yeah, he is, because if he decides that he's going to torment you, then he's an omnipotent being that will torment you for eternity. I don't even think... I think if you went to hell, he would be there waiting for you. Anyway, what you could do is you can tie Droopy to a rocket and send him to the moon, and the moon explodes when the rocket hits the moon. But when you get home, Droopy will be under your fucking bed. It doesn't matter. And the talking Tina doll was that way from Twilight Zone. And Babadook, the children's book in that movie... It doesn't matter. Burn the book? Like, try and get rid of the book? That's not going to solve the problem. That's my point.
Well, that's a tried and true horror movie trope, right? The whole idea of, like, there's a thing that is the sort of the object that around which all of the trouble starts. So let's destroy it. But in classic three-act story arcs, that makes things worse, right? Like in what was the one where they the ring, right? They're like, oh, we'll set the little girl free and then she won't be killing people anymore. It's like,
right,
no,
right.
You, that made
That's
things worse.
The solution.
Yeah, or I'm sure we could come up with other examples.
Well, but just specifically that thing where, like, you're trying to get rid of the bad thing and it just keeps showing up. I mean,
right.
That happens all the time.
Yeah,
but
what's that?
I bet you didn't realize that Droopy is like that.
I
like,
didn't, but you're
in
exactly
spades.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he'll show you. You'll come back home after murdering him, burning his body, throwing the ashes into the ocean. You'll come home and he will fucking be there and he will beat you with a board with a nail hanging out of it. He's
so,
a frightening entity.
He is
Droopy.
A scary dude. So Babadook
anyway,
is
anyway. So, but this is a long digression. But what the Babadook does is you've got a preview that's scary, and even that premise would do it for you if it delivers.
Yeah.
But when you watch the Babadook, that premise is there, but there is a completely hidden kind of concept in the movie that's actually really artistic, deeply disturbing, and addresses. Kind of an important human experience, and then you can't see that coming from the preview, and by the end of the movie you're like, one, that movie scared the shit out of me, I'm not even sure if I want to watch it again because it fucked me up bad, and two, that was like an important piece of expressive artwork.
Okay.
About the human condition.
Yeah, well, now we're going back to the whole psychology of why people like watching horror movies and what they say about human beings. I don't think horror movies would have worked on, you know, cavemen, right? They're like, okay, I'm getting chased by dinosaurs on a daily basis. This Babadook fucker, whatever, you know. I got a club, I'm fine.
Caveman getting chased by dinosaurs.
Yeah,
good.
I mean,
one. Yeah.
I'm a little off on my history there, but you know what I'm talking about, right? The horror movies feel like to me a very modern. I know that, like, the idea of catharsis goes back to Greek times, and horror movies are definitely cathartic, but I would say that modern man, you could say, started with the Greeks or about thereabouts, and modern human beings mired in – we've gone well past the who's the guy, the hierarchy of needs guy? We're well past worrying about those things. We're well into the anxiety of being alive, and horror movies definitely address that aspect of the human condition in terms of – all this stuff that I haven't thought about, but I've been drinking a lot of beer, and so I'm just going to babble until you interrupt me. Let me
ask
you.
I was just thinking the sometimes I think the horror movie thing is that we've become like so sheltered that really, from an evolutionary standpoint, we're kind of like adjusted to terror and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And in our lives, in a lot of ways, we've taken care of that and we've sheltered ourselves from it.
Yeah.
And so our psyches actually crave it, and we have to create it for ourselves through our artwork.
That is an interesting concept. The idea that, like, because we're not being chased by dinosaurs, because we don't worry that we're going to be dead tomorrow, it's useful to every once in a while go into a theater or pick up a book and have the shit scared out of us just to remind ourselves, you know what? You're not as immortal as you think you are. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, and I would even argue, hey, life is still terrible. Like, you don't need to watch a horror movie. You can just wait around. Something bad will fucking happen. I guarantee it.
Well, that's not...
Anyway.
That's not dramatic and
not
fun,
like,
though.
It's not like I just watched my family get eaten by a dinosaur. Like, if that's your life, every fucking day is a horror movie.
Exactly, so. Right. Well, then you get used to that, and then it's not that big a deal. It's like, oh, we lost another one. How old was he? Oh, he's two. Oh, we weren't that attached anyway. Not a big deal. Let's talk about some other titles here just to keep things interesting. We're at the halfway mark, Joe. We probably should do some ads
too.
Oh,
no. Now, I was thinking this is going to be like our music episode. Like, we're going to need to do more of these because there's just too much to talk
about.
There's
just too much, but, yeah. But I got a list here.
I wanted to ask real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to see what are you drinking? Because I have a thetical drink.
Oh, you do? I do not. I have an antithetical drink. I am drinking, which I've mentioned before, Big Wave Golden Ale. It's just a beer by the Kona Brewing Company, and I am drinking them warm tonight because I want to be able to taste them. What are you consuming tonight, sir?
Well, I decided to have a chelada.
Oh.
Well, first of all, I was like, I should have a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
It's the horror show. I have a Bloody Mary. And I was like, nah, but I prefer a chelada. But you know what? Really, all a chelada is a red beer, or as we call them in Davenport, Iowa, a bloody beer.
Okay.
So I'm drinking a bloody beer.
Okay. A chelada, which I think is also called a Michelada, right?
No, that's a little bit different. There's
oh, it is. Okay.
Worcestershire sauce and shit
oh,
in there.
Okay,
chelada is
okay.
A little more refreshing. Anyway,
okay.
That's neither funny nor scary nor interesting.
Well, in as much as, which is my favorite phrase,
nice.
Consuming alcohol is a kind of a staple of the development of the teenage and early 20s party type person, and they are iconic to horror films.
That's true.
Blah, 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 blah. There, that's
no, that's my... good. Good connection. See, I like it. We challenge ourselves to bring everything back to the theme.
Yeah.
Ian Sane will be happy to hear that.
Good, good. Did he...
Because that was his... That was his suggestion.
Okay.
So here we are. This is a goddamn it. We got a theme today, don't we?
We got a theme. We'll find a way to make those connections. Let me throw out some other horror movie titles. I mean, there's a billion of them. And I couldn't even remember all the ones that I like. But I'll throw out some, and you tell me if you've seen them, and you name some, and I'll see if I've seen them. So,
all right, and hey, we can also. I like that you brought up books earlier too, because yeah, this horror movies. That's one thing. There's really good horror reading material, too.
Absolutely.
And we can touch on that, maybe.
Yeah.
You already did, but
I will,
give me a list.
I will say that... Yeah, okay, we'll come back to it. Let's see. One of my favorite scenes comes from... And we don't have time for me to really go into it, but if it, I would encourage you to go look up The Exorcist 3, which was not the best film ever. Have you seen it?
I fucking think it's great.
Okay, you remember the scene where the nurse is going in and out of the rooms, and at one point she walks across the hallway, and the dude walks behind
her
with those
crazy... That's the best scene.
That's...
Damn, I hate to say it, but we're simpatico. Ooh.
Callback.
Ooh, simpatico.
And oh, man.
Yeah, that when I think of Exorcist 3, that scene scared the shit out of me. My father, who is irresponsible in many ways as a parent... took me to that movie right when it came out, and I think I was 10.
That's awesome.
Actually, I don't know how old I was. Maybe I was like 13 or something, but like, but I was seeking out horror movies at that time, so he knew.
Okay.
He was being a good dad. He was like,
sure,
Joe
sure.
can take it. It'll scare the shit out of him. It'll traumatize him, but that's what he wants right now. So,
And that
anyway,
scene...
that scene scared the shit out of me in the movie theater. I was like,
yeah. Yeah.
Fuck me up.
That scene.
The whole movie's really scary.
I encourage anybody who's listening to this, go, if you haven't seen the movie, watch it for that scene and try to find it. It is a mastery of photography and cinematography both, and they're not the same thing. I know that, but I know this is going to sound corny, but they are a mastery of photography, cinematography, blocking, and editing. The way they link that all together, that, what is it, like 3 minutes of movie? Perfect. So terrifying. And it, yeah. I don't know if it ages very well. I don't know if modern audiences, if somebody reshot it now, I'd want somebody really good to like adjust it to fit. But at the time it came out, oh man.
I don't know. It's, my wife and I watched it recently, and it's it did a good job. I think it holds up.
Okay.
I think it's, as horror movies go, it's a delicious horror dish served on a silver platter.
Yeah. And you got that's old people crawling on the ceiling.
Three.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's Exorcist 3.
Yeah.
Delicious meal on a silver platter. The Exorcist 2 is
steaming
a,
pile.
Like a sloppy turd on a paper plate.
Yeah.
And look, we don't even have to go into the first Exorcist. Please agree with me. That movie's scary. Everybody knows it.
That movie is super excellent. Very iconic. Very much set set a standard for movies of that ilk.
Yeah, set the bar.
Yeah, and for me, I'm going to go off on a couple, three, four different tangents here. One, read the book. It's not the same, but the same enough that you'll like it. The main character, the girl who is possessed, is actually a boy in the book by Peter Block, I think it is. Or did he write Psycho?
William Peter Blatty?
Blatty, sorry. Block wrote Psycho. Blatty, yes. The book is excellent. Exorcist is in that genre, and I wrote this on our show.
Really? Notes. I thought it was a little girl in the book, too.
No, the book is
a
boy.
You probably know better than me. Okay, wow.
But my personal favorite subgenre of horror is the demonic slash possessions slash, and then I'm going to add another little subgenre here, the whole found footage thing. When those all come together, you know, demons, not cartoon demons like horns and like, but I'm talking about possession. I'm talking about sick shit. And when you do that with, like, the found footage thing, to me, so we talk about Paranormal Activity. That's found footage. Do you, let me do this. I'm all over the place here, Joe, because I'm super excited. Do you have a favorite horror movie subgenre that you like? Is there a particular thing you tend towards?
Now, you know, I was looking at the notes. The notes. That's right. We have notes. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the notes, and when you said that, I'm like, maybe that's my favorite too. I don't know if I can narrow it down. I want something to kind of, I want it to be a slow burn, I think, and then have all these like payoffs, and the payoffs don't have to be necessarily visual. There's not a certain subgenre I'm looking for, but I like it to be, I think to do a horror movie right, there has to be kind of a sleight of hand working. Like you explained it in Paranormal Activity 2, I think we were talking about, where everything, you see the response of the woman.
Yes.
And then you see everything fall, and that triggers your imagination to think, oh my goodness, what did she see?
Yeah.
And they didn't show you what she saw. Actually, I told myself I wasn't going to talk about The Exorcist a lot, but one of the scariest fucking scenes I've ever seen in any movie is from the first Exorcist, and it was a deleted scene. Do you remember the spider walk?
Yes, I do. Vaguely.
It's
crap
a deleted
walk, yeah.
Scene. And the scariest part of that, one might argue, is you see Reagan, the possessed girl, like just quickly run down the stairs, like in the middle of like a back handspring. You know what I mean? Like I don't know how to describe it. She's bent over backwards and she runs down the stairs and pukes on the bottom of the stairs. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
But that's not the scariest part. The scariest part is Ellen Burstyn, who plays the mom, she's crying about her situation just down in the living room. And you see her, she's like up against the wall and her face is hidden. And then her face, she's crying and she turns around to look at the stairs and the cameras, all you see is her face. Mm-hmm. And you hear this like tap, 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 tap of Reagan running backwards down the stairs. and you see the look on Ellen Burstyn's face, and it, like, it makes your fucking blood run cold.
Yeah.
And it's terrifying. Anyway, I didn't think I would bring up that scene tonight, but the spider walk.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because I don't know if this is the same ilk, but I was talking to my wife about this, about, for me in The Exorcist, the scariest moment was absolutely terrifying. Like, it just chills down my spine just thinking about it. When, at some point, I'm probably not going to get the exact words right, but at some point the priest is shouting at Reagan saying, "Tell me your name, who are you?" And she looks at him and she says, "We are Legion," right?
Oh,
and then you realize, in those three words, you realize we're not talking about some dipshit demon who, like, decided to pop into little girl and cause some hijinks. We're talking about the entire group of hell. We're talking Satan himself is there. I mean, just the
Wait,
magnitude.
Are you confusing that with the exorcism of Emily Rose?
It's
Emily
possible.
Rose said that, and it scared the shit out of me.
I'm going to look it up. I'm pretty sure it was The Exorcist, right? I mean,
but that doesn't take away from the because I think The Exorcism of Emily Rose has a lot of really scary parts, and that was one of them. That sticks out in my mind because she said, "We are Legion," and I'm like, oh, fuck. It's like a horde of demons, right? But do I have that right?
Yeah, it's all of them, right? Like, and it has become a word. Legion is very popular, well, I should say very popular, but in pop culture, it references any kind of humongous, huge horde of badness. The most recent expansion of World of Warcraft is about a bunch of demons that are coming over and trying to, you know, kill everyone, and it's called Legion. So,
look, I'm not gonna see. This is the thing: if I were one of those, like, true fanatic horror fans, if you got this wrong about The Exorcist versus The Exorcism of Emily Rose, I'm not gonna fucking berate you for that. I don't give a shit.
Well, tell you
Exorcist,
what.
Yeah,
I was gonna say it apparently is a quote from the Bible, so they probably both did it. In Mark 5:9, then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." There you go, and that makes it way more creepy and terrifying. So they probably both did it.
Now I know that you have a list, Jason, and I knew this would happen. I was thinking about it today. I was like, it's gonna be like the music episode. We'll have so much shit to talk about. We're gonna be spinning around in circles.
Yeah.
But I feel like we almost have to do this. I'm glad that you brought up that some horror movies, like, they'll scare the shit out of you, but, like, a lot of good horror movies have, like, laugh out loud moments.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Almost like they're also scary. And I wanted to give a shout out and maybe explore a little bit the movie Event Horizon.
Yes. You mentioned
that. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't, but I need to, apparently.
Okay, well, when it comes to laugh out loud moments, like, there are such great quotable moments in that movie. Just to break it down briefly for you, it's a haunted spaceship movie, okay?
Yeah.
There's a spaceship, was lost for years and years, and then it appeared out of nowhere in the orbit of Neptune. And they sent – this is in the future, of course – and they send out this rescue mission to see what happened to this fucking ship. Well, guess what? The ship was transported to another dimension. That dimension happens to be basically fucking hell. Mm-hmm. It came back, and it is like this hellish entity now that is haunted by all the suffering of this dimension.
Yes.
I think I'm doing an okay job of describing it. Anyway,
I think I did see it. But please continue, because I don't remember a damn
Sam
thing.
It's got Sam Neill in it. It's got Lawrence Fishburne
in
it. And they find – they're like looking through the, you know, the video logs of the crew that went to hell, you know? And it's just great. Like this – maybe we can even pull this up. But like Lawrence Fishburne's like, okay, let's watch this clip of what happened to the crew. And it's like people being drawn and quartered, like a guy eating his arm, like successfully eating his arm. He's almost up to his elbow, and his face is stretched out as he fucking eats his own arm. I also think that there's like an arm being shoved up somebody's butt, and they're all covered in blood. I mean, it's horrible. And he hits stop. Lawrence Fishburne hits stop on the tape, and he looks around, and he goes, "We're leaving." And it's just perfect. And there's this other – I don't know if you've ever watched the show Gotham.
But no.
The guy that plays Alfred is fantastic. and there I go, using that word. I told myself that you wouldn't use that word, but he is. He's fantastic. And he plays one of the crew members, and after a bunch of terrible shit happens, they're like trying to decide what to do, and they turn to him, and he's, and I'll never forget this line, and he was like, I don't know what happened to this ship, but I do know one thing. This ship is fucked. And then and see, I can't even do it justice, but when you see this actor say that, and he says it, he really fucking means it. I mean, it's a very simple line, but that's the, I think that's the hallmark of a good actor is, you know, the line's okay. The delivery was just great. But anyway, there's plenty of moments like that throughout the movie, which is genuinely a frightening movie, but also very funny. I laugh out loud. Real quick. Oh, shit. Can you hear that?
No.
Okay. So, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
I found it on YouTube. Let's just see how the audio turns out here.
Okay.
It's about 30 seconds long. Maybe you can just start it at like second 10 just to see what happens.
Sure.
But it says Event Horizon Hell Scene.
Oh, okay.
Which means event. It's the video of the crew that was dying and eating their arms and being butt fucked, covered in blood and hell.
Event Horizon Hell Scenes. Okay. Yeah. Whoops. Let me
give
stop
it a shot.
I'm gonna stop the guitar. Here we go.
Right. I love how you explain that out loud every time you do it. Go ahead.
Stark.
All right, here we go. Couple here watching. They're watching it. Wow. Whoa. Ugh. Speaking Latin, never a good sign.
No, this is not good.
Oh. Wow. Okay, no.
And that's when Lawrence Fishburne's like, we're leaving. Anyway, so that's my little shout out to Event Horizon. Thank you. I've seen that movie many times. I highly recommend it to you. I don't know where we are on time. Do you want to keep moving through your list, or shall we?
Okay, let me tell you about a funny scene in a movie I saw. Maybe we'll get a list. We'll do some ads. If we go a little long today, screw it. You know who's going to complain, right?
Except for our wives.
Yeah, they'll.
Our wives.
Okay. I love them.
No, they're beautiful.
I love them to pieces.
They're seductresses. They can be scary. If your wife's anything like mine, I'm a little scared.
Well, you know, and terrifying, and I like it because I like horror movies. So I'm probably going to get killed for saying that. Anyway, listen. If you ever seen
your wife doesn't listen to this podcast.
Well, you know, I mean, every once in a while, things spill out of the window between my office and the house, and
sometimes it's. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Okay. Have you seen the what's that series of films? Really terrible. Final Destination.
Yep. Okay. You know what? I liked all those movies too.
Those movies are bad, but most horror movies are bad. They're bad enough to be good. That's the thing about horror movies.
They're bad,
when they're
good,
terrible, they're still very watchable. I mean, the worse they are, sometimes the better they are. But do you remember a scene? I don't remember which Final Destination 1 it was. It might have been 1, it might have been 2, but there's a scene where, for some stupid reason, all of the people who have figured this out decide to get into the same minivan and drive somewhere. It's like, okay, somebody or something's trying to kill you all, so you got into the same minivan and drive someplace? Stupid. But that's a horror movie, right? Anyway.
Well, it's the Scream thing. That is
exactly.
That's the commentary, the meta commentary of Scream. It's like, well, what the fuck are these idiots doing?
Right. Okay. So they're driving along.
It still happens all the time. I'd be disappointed if it didn't happen
exactly.
On a regular basis.
You need it. So they're driving along, and of course, there's some sort of like horrible traffic accident. And at one point, somehow there's a truck carrying a bunch of PVC pipe, and everything wrecks, and the car stops, and one of the PVC pipes flies through the air and through the van and comes within inches of decapitating the girl who's driving the car, right? Like it doesn't
right.
It doesn't touch her head, but it comes right up against her head. And because of the way the car wrecked, everybody can get out of the van, but she can't, like her seatbelt stuck or something, right? So she's there.
I remember this scene well.
You remember this scene? So she's there. I don't remember all the details exactly.
This is the airbag fucking
exactly,
thing,
yes. She's like on her cell phone and the fireman walks up and she says something snarky to him about getting out of there. And he like gives her a smirk, like, whatever, lady. And he takes this jaws of death and he bangs the car. Airbag goes off, pops her head right through the PVC pipe, killing her instantly. I laughed so loud, so hard. It was such an amazingly good scene. Ugh,
well,
so
look,
satisfying.
See, I always thought, and I'm glad they made a bunch of Final Destinations, because when I saw the first Final Destination, I was like, well, this should just be a series and it should make no apologies. Mm-hmm. It's like that game. Remember, a lot of people won't listen to this, but our listener will understand this. There was a game called Mousetrap, you know.
The board game?
Yeah, the board game.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Boy, you are old, man.
Well, you know, but it's this chain reaction thing that's
yes.
happening. And they got more and more gratuitous with it as the movies went on. Like, you know, there's all these little things happening. And basically they're like, okay, any one of these little chain reactions could kill the person who's clearly about to die. Because in
right.
Final Destination, whoever the camera's on for more than like a minute, that person's gonna fucking die now.
Yeah.
Especially if they're alone, just like living their lives, it's over. And all these crazy things happen, all these little, you know, they're just on the verge of death in a thousand different ways. And the fun thing is like, okay, so how's this gonna end up? Because this person's fucking toast.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's coming. Anyway, I liked it. I thought it could have been just a series. It basically is a series. They just kept cranking out movies. You know?
Yeah, all with the same idea. I don't think I saw all of them, but I saw enough of them. This is another thing about some of these horror series. Is like once you've seen one, you're kind of in. You're done. I mean, you like you. There's very rarely, I guess, a good horror movie is one that like genuinely surprises you. Like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Like Cabin in the Woods, right? Like it genuinely, because
those movies are special. Like, yeah, those are artistic. Really, I'm gonna say Cabin in the Woods is a masterpiece.
Absolutely.
The Exorcist is a masterpiece.
Yes.
I will say I think that Babadook is a masterpiece.
Okay.
And I'm gonna throw out one more masterpiece, and I've mentioned this before. I just think it's one of the best horror movies ever. Is Pet Sematary?
Yes.
It's just scary as shit, and it's bleak in a way, like emotionally. That just, good God, that movie's hardcore. And I think it's underrated. I don't think it should be in the top five of horror films. Period.
I'll tell you, Joe. I read the book, and it was pretty scary. But now that I'm a father. And we're going to change the subject quickly because this will get like way too real. Now that I'm a father, it's way scary, like almost too scary. Look, we've got we're at minute 52 here. We haven't done the ads yet. We're going to go long.
Oh my God, you're fucking kidding me, dude.
Let's do the ads because we both love doing them so much. And then with whatever energy we have left, we'll come back to this. Flip a coin. Who's going first, you or me this time? Who's going to
I don't have a coin.
I'm going to flip a Kona Brewing Company bottle cap. Do you want heads or tails? Wait, no. Heads?
I'd like severed heads, please.
Severed heads. All right. Heads, you go first. Tails, I go first. And it is tails. I guess I go first. Okay. This will be quick. I don't have any sound effects or anything. So let me turn off the music. Pause. All right. Are you ready? Here we go. All right.
Hey, by the way, in subsequent episodes of our show, if you don't explain to me that you're turning off the guitar music, I will be sorely disappointed. I've come to expect that. I need to understand that that's what you're doing. I'm glad that you explain it to me every time. It makes
well,
me feel secure. Anyway.
Okay.
So I'm not scared. It makes me feel comfortable. Go ahead, dude.
That was me responding to your... I have all these sound effects that I'm going to do for something else that's not going to have time to do. But anyway, okay, here we go. All right, here's our ad. Ready? This will pay for the podcast. Here we go. All right. In 1983, Joe, Montgomery Hierophant ritualistically slaughtered 13 guests at the Bella Vista Motor Hotel in Western Idaho. Screams pealed through the night as Montgomery laid into a baker's dozen skulls with an axe. The carnage was knee-deep. Blood dripped from the walls, and when police arrived on the scene, they found a smiling Montgomery drenched in gore, and not all of the limbs they would have expected to find. Does that sound like the kind of place you'd like to stay on a nice family vacation? Well, I've got bad news for you. Since the slaughter, high demand has seen room rates more than triple at the Bell Vista, an example of price gouging that makes you wonder, who's more evil, Montgomery or the motel owners themselves? But I've got good news, too. If you want to be terrorized and or ritualistically slaughtered yourself, but at an affordable rate, Larco is now introducing a brand new privately sourced vacation rental marketplace called ScareBnB. With ScareBnB, you can choose a tiny closet with chains welded to the floor, or stay in an enormous mansion replete with walls that bleed and toilets that overflow with black ichor. ScareBnB offers a wide variety of accommodations to suit your specific horror needs. Why throw your money at some faceless corporation with a reputation on the line and an obligation to follow government-mandated safety regulations when you can interact with tall, lanky men who are unnaturally attached to their mothers, or pale-faced gentlemen who will only greet you after dark and seem to know an awful lot about 15th century Romania, or even human flesh mask-wearing, chainsaw-wielding maniacs? And when you join ScareBnB, we'll throw in a $6.66 voucher good for your first ride with Scooby Doober. Skip the taxi lines and ride in a green panel van with a few teenagers and a dog. Scooby Doober gets you where you need to go, as long as where you need to go is that old abandoned mill on the edge of town. With ScareBnB, you'll enjoy comfortable accommodations, watch your family get butchered right before your eyes, and save money all at the same time. ScareBnB. You're going to die. You're all going to die. Okay.
Yes. Oh, Larco.
Larco delivers. Good all right.
God, that was great. ScareBnB and Scooby Doober. Gentlemen. Oh, that's fantastic.
Genius is right. Over there, huh? If I do see so myself.
Now, this is a bummer. I didn't have enough time today because with my intro, you know, it's the little Beastie Boys thing, and it goes ba 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 ad. Yeah. Now, I wanted to make another one so everybody, when you listen to this, imagine that it was better suited to this horror show that we have.
Sure.
I wanted to say, din it, din din din. But I couldn't make it happen today. Just didn't have enough time.
Do you want some background music for your ad? Something like that's from Halloween.
No, not. I'm hoping this one's gonna go long, dude.
Okay, go for it.
This show's gonna go long, but I don't think I need background music for the ad itself. Here, hold on. I'm in my garage, and I'm going to go grab another drink, okay? So tell a scary story for us. I'll be back in 10 seconds.
Okay. You want me to tell a scary story? He's gone.
Yeah, a 10-second one. Make it good.
Okay. While he's gone, I'll do this. I'll tell a scary story, but I'm going to try an idea I had, which is what if I tell a joke, but at the end of the joke, I do a scary sound effect. Does that change the joke? For example, why did the chicken cross the road? To get to the other side. Okay, I don't know if that's working. Let me try another one.
I just got back and wow, man, that was your scary story? Okay.
No, I was trying this thing I thought of where you tell a joke and then I do a funny sound effect at the end of the joke. Like, can you think of a quick joke like how many Californians does it take to screw in a light bulb? Californians don't screw in light bulbs, they screw in hot tubs. That doesn't really work, though, does it? Okay, let me try one more. Can you think of a joke? I'm putting me on the spot. I can't. All my jokes really long.
How about this? You know, I met the sweetest stripper the other day. She had the greatest smile I've ever come across.
Okay, I don't know if that works at all. This is a dumb idea. Joe, can you tell your ad, please?
Sure. It's, anyway, by the way, I need to give credit to – apparently that joke was written by Henny Youngman, and that's one of the old school guys wrote that joke, and that's really a disgusting joke.
He came across
the stripper's smile. Anyway, I thought it was kind of scary. Anyway, go ahead with my ad intro.
Oh, you want that too? Man, you are demanding.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Hit it!
Sometimes.
There it goes.
That is better.
Wait, no. That's the wrong intro. Oh, here we go. Sorry.
We're really doing the horror thing here. Are you and other simple peasants in your 19th century European village terrified of the godless, murderous beast roaming your streets, hiding in the shadows? As a part of the angry mob hell-bent on destroying the monster once and for all, don't you need something to thrust repeatedly in the air? Perhaps you would normally use a torch in this circumstance, but what about something a little more intimidating? Well, we've got just the thing. The Seymour EF-20D 15x15-inch Tintine welded steel ensilage fork with hardwood handle. It's not your average pitchfork. It's the sturdiest and most handsome tool of its kind on the market. Before you know it, you and your rabble of shrieking, frightened townspeople will have chased the inhuman ghoul out into the firelight, and you'll be running your Seymour ensilage fork through its chest, the envy of your family and friends. Make no mistake. This quality pitchfork isn't just for angry mobs. For instance, are you a prolific child murderer, wondering how you're going to get all those severed baby heads into the back of your truck? Even the best snow shovel is just not fit for such a task. So try the Seymour EF-20D 15x15-inch Tintine welded steel ensilage fork with hardwood handle. The tines of this fork will easily slide through the gaping, gruesome faces of several baby heads at a time. And with a gentle swing, those baby heads will be flying into the back of your pickup with the greatest of ease. Or maybe your needs are more urgent. Perhaps you're trapped in the remote wilderness after being chased by a pack of bloodthirsty wolves. Nothing fends off hungry, red-eyed, snarling wolves better than a Seymour ensilage. As the pack circles, drooling at the smell of your sweet flesh, you can be confident that you'll take at least one of the bastards down with you as you die. The Seymour EF-20D 15x15 Tintine welded steel ensilage fork with hardwood handle. It can also be used to pile hay. Hey.
Oh man, that's good. You went all the directions.
Hey, you say again, Jason?
You went all the directions I was hoping you would go. It's like, is he going to go this way? Is he going to go that way? He did all of them.
Well, the most important ways that you can use a pitchfork. That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
Well, it's not me. I'm trying to. Look, I got the copy, and I got to hand it to you. You're the one that got this sponsor. I mean, you're the one that set this whole thing up. I'm just reading the copy here.
I called them up, and I said, are you interested in sponsoring our show? And they said, what's your podcast about? I said, it's about agriculture. They said, well, then, yeah, of course. So I'm really hoping they don't listen because they are Christians. We are well over time here, Joe, but we have not even got to arguments for cancellation. I rather enjoyed this subject, and I think, like the music episode, it is there will be a sequel to it. However, I recognize that you may be of the mind that this is just more proof that we should never do another podcast again. Do you have an argument for cancellation this week, sir?
I do, and I'd like to say something first, though. Clearly, we could just go on for hours on this topic,
yes.
So we need to touch on this again. I think a good time to do it would be Halloween.
Yeah.
And I think we already have some things prepared for that. That's going to be exciting. But we're probably going to do a horror episode between now and
Halloween.
Absolutely. Because This is too much fun.
I didn't talk about VHS.
We'd go for another hour easy.
Absolutely. Sophie's Choice is one you liked. VHS is one I liked. House of 10,000 Corpses.
Do you get that, Jason?
Well,
have you seen Sophie's Choice?
I haven't, but I'm assuming that there's something going on there. I mean, I know what it's about, so.
A lot of people think that it's a kind of heart-wrenching drama starring Meryl Streep. I consider it at least I consider it a horror movie. Anyway,
Point is,
our listener might understand my joke. But
Point is, you're right. There is a lot to talk about. We haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg. We're floating above the iceberg, looking at the tip, going, there's way more to this iceberg than just that tip I'm looking at. Let's do arguments or cancellation. Let's do this. Now, do you need to set this up? What do I need to do to help you out here?
Just give me the intro, and then we'll go from there.
Sometimes dead is better.
That's a quote from Pet Sematary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, it is. Welcome to another edition.
Oh, shit. What happened? Why did it stop? Sorry, dude. You have to start over.
Sometimes dead is better.
This is quality podcasting.
This is terrifying. Welcome to another edition of JBC's Horrifying Arguments for Cancellation. All right, well, look, this is simple. We go on dirges about morbid, terrible shit on a regular basis. We say horrible things. You know what? Just to wrap it up, the fact is the reason why we only have one listener and that listener has probably had enough of our shit is because we're scaring them away. Okay? And just to show you how scary it is and why this should stop, again, let's do this. This is called the horror of our podcast.
Okay, here we go.
I think the human race is unraveling slowly. Just consider it a sign of the end of times. Very bleak.
3 seconds of our podcast, and I was so horrified by the sound of my own voice.
The horror of our podcast.
Exactly. And I'm going to Hot Topic, and I'm wearing dark eyeliner.
It used to be called goth.
No! Darth Vader, like, killed a bunch of children.
Darth Vader is a child murderer.
An evil being.
Darth Vader was a fucking child murderer. Darth Vader will use his mind to throw a fucking refrigerator at the back of your head while you're trying to have a sword fight with him with lasers. Why are you throwing a huge fucking air conditioning unit at my head? He can pick up a fucking Volkswagen Bug and throw it at your face with his mind. He's a child murderer. The horror of our podcast. I will kill you.
You didn't kill that guy? Give me his name. I'm going to go kill him right now. I'm going to go kill this guy. Motherfucker, I'm coming for you.
I am going to spectacularly dot Daffy Duck's ghost. He just died. He was not alive. He was dead by dying on stage. He had killed himself on stage. I want to advocate for suicide. The taco slicer, as its blades are vibrating and spinning, and it hits my fingers, and you hear the blades stop. And I saw dark red just fill up the open parts of the cut glove and start dripping out. My fingers! My fucking fingers! When we pulled the glove off, a couple of my fingers tumble out. I had chopped my fingers off with the taco slicer at that point.
Yeah.
The horror
of our podcast.
I don't know how to fade this out. It's just going to be abrupt. Oh, God damn it.
See what I mean?
We have to. You convinced me. I think you fucking convinced me. Okay. Oh, God damn it.
I think you just fucking convinced me.
See that? Do you realize how much morbid shit we touch on? I mean,
I had no idea. I'm gonna.
Sometimes that is better.
Let's just say it again for the 10th time, Joe, or the 13th. No, how many montages you've done? Your ability to find this stuff, they are going to. If you know how we've talked about how your regional director thinks that you might be ruining your career by doing a podcast. I agree, because if you do get famous, someone's going to swoop in and say, you are wasted at that Taco Bell, son. You need to be doing something like what you're doing, but for hundreds of millions of dollars. Oh, you're a gifted individual, Joe.
See, this you really like this every time. And
it's my favorite part of the show.
Well, see, I'm trying to stop the show, dude.
I think
you're like tickled pink, fucking giggling, like, oh my god, it's great. You're like Beyonce. I'm like, no, this is why we suck, dude. All
right. Yeah, anyway. It's a delicious irony. It's a meta irony, Joe. I will continue to do things terribly in the hopes that you quote me later as an argument for why I am terrible. It's like, I know I'm terrible. That's why I do it. It's hilarious.
No, now you're fucking with it because you're.
I couldn't help it. Sorry.
That's okay. But that was the Exorcist music behind there. You're trying to make this more entertaining. You did that, didn't you? You did it.
Music? Well, yeah. I had someone very dear to me suggested that I play it at a certain point, and it seemed to sync up pretty good, and that might have been our best. Our best 1 minute and 55 seconds of podcasting ever. Right there.
Anyway.
Sorry. We've clearly reached the point in the show where I'm just doing random shit now. we are at minute 72 here, Joe. We should probably wrap this up, if only so that people can... or person can stop listening and go do important things like, you know, eat and sleep and stuff. Any last things that you want to say before we finish this business?
You know, I just want to suggest that maybe like in a couple of months from now, like right in the middle of summer, we pick this up again because...
Yeah, we clearly didn't even...
Even though our podcast sucks like a vampire. Hey!
Hey! Who?
Anyway, I think that we need to just keep on this.
Yes.
If we're going to continue.
This is a good topic, yeah.
This horrifying podcast, then we should do that again. Kind of narrow it down. We're going to do another music one. We're going to do another horror one. The Halloween one I think is going to be special. I'm going to start working on shit for that now.
I think you should. Absolutely. Okay. Well then, let's close it off. You did the intro, Joe. I think you should do the outro, and then I'll do the last-minute shouty thing. But then I'm hoping that you'll actually secretly sneak in another shouty thing after I do my shouty thing. So, last words are yours. Go.
Well, everyone, count your blessings. And after you watch a horror movie in the middle of the night, and you think that there's a floating, possessed, small child in your shower behind the shower curtain, just remember... You're right. She's there. So take your piss and get the fuck out of there.
Oy, 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 oy.
I didn't listen to that before I downloaded it. Oh.
Good evening.
God damn it, we're stupid.
Thank you, Mr. President.